Welcome to episode 245 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna, Laura, Sandy, George, and Lindsay. We've all heard the stories, from the absurd to the destructive to the fatal. We here at Outlander Travel have touted the virtues of responsible tourism by choosing quality tour operators, responsible resorts, and safe air carriers. By that same token, we have to be responsible tourists. Today, we explore how not to be that person while still enjoying your adventure. So we're basically going to vent a little
bit. We're going to be moms.
Here we go. So let's tackle the absurd. We've sort of categorized things into absurd, destructive, or fatal. We may jump around a little bit, but if we can, we can try to stick to things. So I think the number one absurd behavior, especially on airplanes, is over-drinking, over-indulging in alcohol.
Why are you looking at me?
Let's see, that time that Sandy knocked her friend's coffee into her lap.
But I wasn't drunk yet.
She put the Baileys in it.
Her only clean pair of jeans.
But I think this is a really common problem. I mean, to the point where people actually feel like in danger because somebody gets so intoxicated that they...
Well, it goes right to your head when you're in the air because you're dehydrated anyway.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was flying to Paris and... she was in first class and she was nervous about flying and she drank too much. Mm-hmm. And she was flying by herself. She was meeting somebody there. And they just kind of picked her up off the plane and put her in a taxi. So there was like nobody to have her back. Like, she ended up at the hotel and stuff. But yeah, so that's like a scary thing. Yeah. You know, like losing your kind of sense of what you're doing, that would be bad.
It's not good for anyone.
Losing your place of where you are and forgetting and tossing liquor bottles into the lap of the person behind you in the airplane.
Not that ever
my first flight to Ireland, the people in the seats in front of me were tossing their empty liquor bottles over the seat like they were, I don't know, in their car.
Yep. And here's the thing. I'm all about, I understand you're going on vacation and you're ready to have a good time and I totally support that. That's what I do for a living, is help you do that. But you've got to understand where you are and what your limits are and that there are other people around you also trying to enjoy their vacation. So, and that sort of goes over to a cruise ships where people are, you know, they have a drink package and so they feel they have to throw back as many drinks as possible. You don't have to do that because you end up throwing up on somebody's shoes and they do not appreciate that.
Or falling down and strangers have to pick you up and carry you.
Yes.
Because the person you're with is irritated at you and they won't help you.
Perhaps this happened to you.
I was one of the people that lifted this lady up. I was at Sandals on a trip with a bunch of travel agents and there was a couple and the woman couldn't walk and the guy was done with her. And he would have just left her there. I mean, we kind of picked her up and walked her back to the shade and put her in a chair. But yeah. She had overdone it for sure.
Let's hope she wasn't a travel agent.
Well, she didn't say she was a travel agent, so that's good.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell anybody that you're
my thing too is it's not just on airplanes, but if you're getting so drunk that you are unaware, you're how much could you really be enjoying your vacation? I mean, I think there's a fine line between drinking enough to have a good time and drinking so much that you can't remember your good time or if it was actually good for everyone around you.
Yeah. You know, another place that started to happen a lot more is Epcot. Like people drinking the world, getting obnoxious.
Oh yeah. I've seen people like swinging off of the kiosks.
Climbing the pyramid.
That's happened as well. So yeah. And then, we've done our episode. I'll just, you know, give a hearkening back to it on airplane etiquette and people who, you know, put their feet on your armrest or flip their hair over the back of their seat into your lap or whatever, you know, those sorts of, it's like, always be aware of the people around you, that this is not your airplane, that this is, you know, I understand it's not comfortable, but none of us are comfortable. It doesn't matter if you're the littlest person on that plane, there is not a single person around you who is absolutely comfortable on an airplane. So, well, maybe the people in first class.
So what do you think about the whole, I read the article that Sandy posted about people rushing the gate.
Honestly,
that's like a whole, we could do a whole podcast on that, because it's a huge pet peeve of mine. And I was just reading through that article because I had been wanting to read it. I think.
I have two schools of thought about that article. So number one, I think the article was a bit snarky to people who don't travel a lot. Because some people just don't realize.
Yeah.
But number two, you all do have an assigned seat, you know?
Unless you're on Southwest.
Unless you're Southwest.
Yeah, but on Southwest, yeah. you would have an assigned, like, boarding space, you know? Like,
that's where true.
So this was referring to, like, Delta, when they say, line up if you're in section one or whatever, you know, and then all the people from section five get up and just stand right around there and swarm it. So yeah, I think that might have to do with people trying to make sure they get overhead bins.
Yeah, they don't want to check the gate, check their bags. Yeah.
And I think that, like, it's really become it's not just the people who don't know or who are anxious to get on board now. It's almost like I feel pressured that I have to do it because there are so many people doing it now.
That's actually part like, of what, yeah, go ahead.
It just, like, when Donna and I, it wasn't Donna, I'm sorry, I was coming back to Tini, you feel like, especially sometimes if you're in a foreign country and you don't, maybe you can't hear the announcements as well as you'd like to, or maybe you don't understand the announcements, or maybe it's an airport that you're not as familiar with. There are all these other factors that I think come into play in this. And I don't think it's always just people being rude. Sometimes it's, you're just afraid of missing that all important, oh my gosh, is this still my gate message?
Yeah. I will say that the article did sort of talk about, like, the efficient people who line up, who stand back and make sure that other people can get through, but they want to be at the front because they want to be able to get the overhead space. So they go up there, but they're not in the way. And then there's the clueless people. And Emma even said, these are just people who really have no idea and are not really listening or paying attention. It doesn't help that every airline has their own quirks and rules about boarding too. So, you know, we mentioned Southwest and they line up, and I actually had a lady do the whole, you know, we're in line here, when I got in front of her, and I'm like, oh really? Okay. What's your boarding number? She had no idea. It turned out she was in the C group. She did not know anything. I was like A18. I was way up there. So I showed it to her, and she's like, oh, I'm A something. But that, I know she had no idea. And later on I saw her boarding with the C people, because, you know, so, I felt a little snarky about that, but at the same time, I felt bad for her because she really didn't know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Delta has, like, numbers, I think groups 1 through 4, but before they get to group 1, they board their Sky Priority, they board their first class, they board their Platinum people, and, like, all these.
I hate that. You know, like, the whole entire plane gets, like, on before. I think it was SNL that did this skit.
Yeah, exactly. And then American has 9 boarding groups. So, and then actually I flew Austrian Airlines last year. They don't have any boarding. They basically say, come on.
Oh, so that's,
so even if you're priority or whatever, everybody gets on at the same time. And I was like, really? Oh my gosh.
Used to board the back of the plane first.
Long time ago.
I think they should. I mean, I feel like it would be logical to load the back of the plane first. Isn't there an airline that loads, like, window seat, middle seat aisle?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, but I like them.
But I swear,
I thought there was one that did it that way too.
I feel like the first time I flew as an adult, it was like that, you know, on a huge plane going to LA, that we boarded the back first. I don't know. I could be misremembering.
So we have a lot of obnoxious things.
I mean, they want to stack us in there like Tetris pieces. They should do it in an orderly fashion.
Tetris, exactly.
Like this new, have you seen the new configurations for seats, where there's going to be 2 seats facing this way and 1 seat in the middle facing the 2 other seats?
No.
Nobody wants that.
That would be awful.
Are those the standing ones?
I don't know. My husband had sent me an article with the diagrams of these seats, and
that's a big note. So moving, I want to move on to one thing that I want to touch on, but then I want to leave it quickly because we're a family friendly show. But since we're talking about airplanes, and then I think Lewd Acts comes into the mix too. You know, your fantasy about joining the Mile High Club is not anyone else's. And perhaps you need to just leave that in the fantasy realm.
So, like, seriously, I almost feel like those bathrooms have gotten so small that they would deserve a standing ovation. It would have to be too contortionist.
It would have to be standing.
I don't even know. Like, how would you? You would have to call for emergency services to get people out of this bathroom.
But yes, maybe. But not just that. Although, and I've seen, you know, that's the other thing about the internet is when you think you're not being watched, you probably are, and then you're being filmed. Suddenly, it's all over the internet. So I've seen airplanes, subways. I mean, people just go crazy everywhere. So not fun for the people around you, especially the ones with kids.
FYI, whatever you think the blanket's hiding.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
Oh, okay. Moving on.
And you're making people really uncomfortable.
I do have one more like thing to add to Lewd Acts, not on planes, but that goes for other places too, like hot tubs in pool bars or pool bars areas.
And it's not just activities that would get you into the Mile High Club. Donna pulled out that old glorious Ozzy Osbourne peeing on the Alamo. That's also, you know, I think it's entertaining. It's not. It's, you know, super disrespectful. And
no, he basically got banned from San Antonio for 20 years.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's how these things go. When you do get caught, you will not be back. And every place has, you know, Disney has blacklists. They have, you know, they have lists of people. All of the theme parks have them. Busch Gardens, they all have them. If you get kicked out of the park for something inappropriate, you will not be welcomed back.
As like a Disney fanatic, that just seems like my worst nightmare is to never be allowed back in the parks. And how horrible it must be for those people who do something so foolishly stupid when they're young and their brains aren't done growing. And then now they're adults and they have kids or grandkids and they can't go back. It's the happiest place on earth because that one night.
Somewhere. The ones I've seen for Disney were people who were like doing illegal things like peeping or, you know, things that they should never ever go back. In fact, they should be in jail. So, you know, so some of those.
Yeah, you can petition, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily.
But there are people who like have gone and filmed, they've like snuck into that abandoned water park, River Country, and they film it and put it on YouTube. And they get banned. It's like, well, you put it on YouTube, dummy.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or the creepy abandoned and island.
There's some prisons around the world you really do not want to go to.
Yeah, if you're out of the country, yeah.
Definitely. So I don't know whether you would call this lewd, but also it kind of goes over to when there are statues that are considered pieces of art or whatever that you feel like you want to pose a certain way with them up against, you know, things that are possible,
sticking out.
Yes. I've seen many of those where, you know, people think that's funny. It's just not, don't be that person.
There are some clever ones. And with street art, I don't have as much of it, you know, when a statue's out in the middle of, you know, of everywhere. But I do think that, you know, keeping it appropriate, you can be funny without being lewd. So, and I'm not approved by any stretch of the imagination. It's just there are other people around, you know, you just have to be aware that you're not the only person there trying to enjoy this thing, this piece of art.
And I think I'm kind of guilty of that in the tradition of having the troll spank your butt in Norway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. But again, that's sort of, I mean, as long as you keep it in check, it's, you know, it's not such a big deal. So,
but you're fully clothed when the trial is banked.
Yes, obviously fully clothed in the theme park with the small children. Yes.
So the next section that we have is destructive, and this is actually one that that I feel most passionate about, and I'm sure you guys do too. So, and it's amazing, as we were gathering articles for this, as Sandy was gathering articles for this, and we were talking about it, so many things are destructive. I mean, it's not just vandalism. It's not just scratching your name in a tree trunk, which is included, by the way, but not necessarily. But we were talking right before we went on to record, we were talking about people stealing Komodo dragons. Yeah. So you can't actually get to those islands anymore because people were tucking dragons under their arms and taking them off the island. Yeah. What?
That's crazy. You know, they're poisonous too, right?
Yeah, they're not. Well, I don't know how poisonous they are, but they're certainly not tame friendly creatures. Yeah. You know, they're wild animals.
There was another story I remember reading about a guy who was a missionary, and he went to some island of cannibals and they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they couldn't retrieve his body because people.
And they basically warned people not to go there because they practice cannibalism, and he thought he would convert them.
Well, and it's not just about practicing. They basically didn't want outsiders there. I mean, like, they pretty much said, don't come here. Don't.
Well, and the thing is, too, they don't have any immunity from anything that we can bring. I mean, you could wipe out their entire population. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of other people's bad behaviors, much like the Komodo dragons, like now, you know, the Giant's Causeway, there's going to be a railing and it's going to be roped off, and you're not going to be able to get to climb on those hexagonal stones like you could in the past because of people. There's so many places in the world that are becoming inaccessible now because of foolish antics.
Mm-hmm. Laura, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, you're going back to the Komodo dragon thing. Wouldn't it be just cool to say you have an emotional support dragon? That's all.
And I got him in this island up in Indonesia.
Yeah. Yeah. He would be emotionally supportive because he'd kill everybody that you came near you. So.
Yeah. But it is, like, I think people, because you hear these stories of people taking selfies and falling off cliffs and stuff. And I think that people expect there to be guardrails when there is inherent danger, but that's just not how the world is.
I don't really think even the guardrails would help, though, because, I mean, when we were at the Cliffs of Moher, we were just watching people go over the side. I watched a guy hold a dog out.
Oh, God, that poor dog.
I know, climb over the end, you know, and they had a lot of heavy rain, so they had a lot of mudslide issues, and there were warning signs everywhere, and they were in all kinds of languages. People just don't care, I think, at some extent. I mean, some places it's an honest accident, but when you have to physically climb over a barrier that's there for safety, it's no longer an accident. It's no longer that's a choice.
So we skipped ahead to the fatal section of our section. So why don't we go ahead and talk about the fatal don't be that person, for obvious reasons. Don't die because you did something stupid on vacation.
Well, and because if you do something careless, that it could make other people, like the rescuers that put their lives in jeopardy, the rescuers, that this is a big national park thing. Because follow one page where they would post like of people having to get rangers to come out after them and stuff, and it was like people going hiking with their cell phone for their directions, and then your cell phone dies and you don't know where you are, so you follow a stream and then you end up at a waterfall, you're at the top of a waterfall, you know? And then you're stuck out there all night.
There's not like a season that goes by where like a half a dozen, I swear, people in Washington State that tourists happen to, they go out, either people are not prepared, or I almost think that we should require people to have tracking beacons now.
It's not
just
bad
to
idea.
Make it easier.
Yeah. I mean, well, and then I remember a story about a guy who was climbing. If you're driving through Yosemite Valley, there's a falls called Bridalville Falls, and it's basically a mist fall. and there's huge boulders under it, but they have algae and they're really slippery. And this man was climbing on them with like his son, who was maybe 11 or something, and he fell and broke his back. And they couldn't get to him. They had to get a helicopter over there. Even though it was by the parking lot, they still had to like airlift him off of that rock, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's instances of people rock climbing and getting stuck in like thunder and lightning and stuff. And the rescuers might get to them, but then they might be stuck up there too till the next day, you know? Yeah. So, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Well, and accidents happen. It's really just a matter of making sure, like we were talking about the Cliffs of Moher and, you know, when you, talk to a guide there or, you know, go there, first of all, standing at the top of the Cliffs of Moher, it's windy. I mean, you can tell that it's windy. Mm-hmm. And they said there are many people who just literally are standing too close to the edge and get blown off. You know, there are definitely jumpers. There are definitely people who
Hoover Dam, that happens too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you know, you just, there's no coming back from that. It's, mm-hmm. that's it. So yeah, holding your dog over the edge or even getting really close to the edge yourself to get that perfect photograph, you're literally risking your life for a picture, you know? Yeah. But even here, I mean, guardrails are up and people still get over them to get attacked by the jaguar. I mean, you know, it's like, this is Darwin at work, folks. You can't, you know, so the stories about people taking selfies at the Grand Canyon and falling over, that's like real. That happened.
That's happened several times this year.
Yep. And
sometimes I think it didn't happen 3 weeks in a row. Three different people, like it for a 3 week span this year.
Yeah. Well, and then there was a guy who went over the guardrails at Volcanoes National Park in Hawaii and fell into the crater and he was saved. But mm-hmm. that does put the rescuers at risk mm-hmm. too, to have to come and get you.
And in most parts of the world, we don't have, they don't have guardrails and they don't have, you know, because they're not such a Sioux happy society. And so a lot of these things, you take your life in your hands and, you know, just crossing a sidewalk.
I mean, yeah, you have to be responsible for your actions.
So. Go over them. There's irony in sometimes the people who do this. I mean, you know, there's celebrities who have been charged with vandalism or, you know, a Boy Scout troop knocked over a stack of rocks at one of the national parks that had been there, you know, forever, that basically erosion was doing its job. And they thought it was hilarious. And there's video of these kids and their troop leader, you know, and these are Boy Scouts.
This is like, supposed to leave no trace.
So who was it that had the Instagram photo shoot on the moss that was centuries old in Iceland and killed a bunch of?
I don't know about that one.
It was like Kim Kardashian. I don't know. It was some celebutant, whatever, went to Iceland and did a photo shoot out on this moss-covered, beautiful moss-covered rock area.
Oh, it was the singer, the dude from Canada.
The singer from Canada. That's not nearly it. Yeah,
it's the kid. He was like a kid.
And oh, Justin Bieber?
Yeah, Justin
Bieber. Oh, yes. Was it Justin Bieber? Yeah, so then all of their fans wanted to do the same thing, and it created this ripple effect of just tons of destruction to this beautiful moss. It's never gonna, you know, it's never gonna be the same. It's never gonna come back.
Yeah, and he was also swimming in these areas with icebergs that you could easily get trapped under and stuff. I mean, it was very dangerous, the stuff that he was doing. Yeah, it was like the poster child of don't do this. Don't do that. Yeah.
Well, on that line, photography, and this is something, and this is really somber. So, when we went to Dachau several years ago, they commented on how they'd taken out almost all of the museum displays that they had there because they had things like torture tables and things displayed there. And people were actually taking pictures of themselves pretending to lie on the table.
Oh.
And you're like, what?
Yeah, you're not getting the proper reverence.
What? Here. I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, reverence at all. Like, you're treating this like a joke. And the whole reason this is here is for you to learn about this horrible moment in history. And you think it's time for a selfie? And so they're getting really, the concentration camp museums are getting really much more open about, like, telling you not to take pictures. And Auschwitz recently has been putting out that, you know, they'll comment on your Instagram picture if you take a photo that they consider to be somewhat disrespectful. A lot of people take pictures at the train tracks that basically mm-hmm. carted many, many people to their deaths. And sometimes it's tasteful, but they basically, Auschwitz kind of just wants you to stop taking pictures of it. Like, stop.
There was an artist who, did you see that? It was like they took people's selfies at, I think it was Auschwitz, but, and then they imposed pictures of the people who were actually in the camps. Yeah, with these like tourists standing there looking all live and stuff. It was really powerful, mm-hmm. actually. And people were like, you know, saying, please take my picture down. I'm so sorry. I didn't mm-hmm. realize. Now I realize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a kind of a, and I mean, everybody does stupid stuff. Nowadays, if you do stupid stuff, it's probably going to be on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. So you just have to think about that. Yeah.
Well, and think about what you're doing and why you're there. You know, there's always some town with a bronze statue that has a place that people have rubbed either for luck or because they like to or whatever. And just, you know, you're wearing down this piece of art. You're every time you do something like that, you know, people want to touch things, and I get it if you're a tactile person, but even taking photographs, if you're using flash, that can deteriorate paints and things like that. So you have to understand what you're seeing. And this is, you know, I'm looking at the Bayeux tapestry that's centuries old. Let's not do right. anything to make that fall apart any faster. You know, that we only get that yeah. for a certain period of time. And we see, you know, Notre Dame, we almost lost her completely yeah. just recently. And that wasn't careless tourism, but you know, you have to understand that these things, they might not last forever. And if you could be making that faster, you know, the disappearance of it faster.
Well, and the other thing is ask your travel agent, or do some research. If you're going to be going to, say, St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, know how to dress.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things that, you know, they will turn you away, and you basically spent 3 hours in line waiting to get in the door, and they say, oh, sorry, you're not dressed appropriately. You can try again another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to pay attention to those kind of cultural norms.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to adapt.
Yeah, understand where you are and be respectful of it, even if it doesn't follow your same beliefs or feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't assume that they all have to adapt to us.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead. We live in a society now where people are kind of, we're all more self, I don't want to say self-absorbed, but self preoccupied to an extent. And I just don't think that idea of, you know, in the past when you traveled, it was such a big thing. It was such a big production. You got dressed up to travel and you went someplace and you were representing wherever you came from. And along the lines, we've kind of lost that a little bit as a society. We're losing that. But when you travel, you are a representative for your country. Mm-hmm. You're a representative for, and unfortunately, we've gotten a horrible reputation as Americans in a lot of countries for a lot of these behaviors that
yep.
Well, you're representative of your family and of
yeah.
who you are. Yeah. And it's just, you want to put your best foot forward, and it is very easy to get caught up in, you know, I want to see all the things and do all the things and be part of it. I want to immerse myself. But immersing yourself doesn't mean that you need to swim with icebergs or with hippos for that matter.
But, except that they're so squishy.
Except they're so cute. But you know, being responsible, even, you know, the animal related excursions, and we've done podcasts on that as well. There are places that are responsible about that. There are places that aren't, and you know, be smart about that. Mm-hmm. And then taking care of the environment, you know, trying not to, don't leave a trace. What is it?
Leave no trace.
Yeah. Take only photographs, leave only footprints. Is that
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you basically go somewhere and you're bringing a bunch of water bottles, pack them mm-hmm. out.
Or bring a refillable water yep. bottle and like a huge jug. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
We actually yeah. were walking through a parking lot the other day and saw like 4 metal straws discarded. I was like, this is not how this works, people. This is not how any of this works. If you don't throw your metal straw onto the ground, we have not improved anything here. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know, like when we used to go to Bonnaroo, they try to act like they're all sustainable and stuff. But, you know, one of the big problems is people will buy all this new camping gear and take it with them, and then they'd leave all the boxes for mm-hmm. it and stuff. You know, like all the packaging would be left whenever they leave. There's, yeah, people are dirty, dirty, dirty. Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. Well, there was just something about that at the beach just recently. We had Memorial Day weekend, and the beaches in North Carolina were just filled with trash.
I saw a picture of one in Virginia Beach too. I used to go walking on the beach at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the cigarette butts washing up would just make me so angry. You know, it was just like, oh my God, can't you just throw those away? You know, do you have to throw them? I get that this beach feels like a huge ashtray, I guess, but, you know, it's going so, or fireworks. There's always be like firework remnants everywhere too.
Yeah.
Where do you think that's going?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you got to clean up after yourself.
I mean, I guess it's hard to clean up after fireworks if they're shooting in the sky, but still, I can't think about that.
You know, since we're jumping around our topics, I just remembered one of the absurd ones. Did you guys see that video of the guy who, we were talking about being selfish, the guy who got out of the car on Big Thunder Mountain when it was going up the hill because he dropped his cell phone?
Oh, God. And everyone had to, like, walk off of it?
Yeah, they stopped the whole ride. The train was going uphill, and you know, you don't have a belt really on that. You can get out of it if you want to. And he had his cell phone out and dropped it. And instead of just waiting for the ride to end, you know, instead of basically going, oops, my bad, I had my cell phone out, and he got out of his train car, stopped the whole ride, went and got his phone. And there's this guy videotaping it going, this guy just got out.
Yeah.
But he goes all the way down the hill, gets his phone, comes back up, and gets back in the rail car. He's like, sorry, guys. No. Yeah. That's not how this works. Again, it's like, this is,
you know,
has this person never seen a news report of somebody that's died at a theme park from doing that? Like,
I think he thought, oh, this isn't going too fast, I can get out. I mean, he was like, that was my phone and I can't lose it. So we're so attached to our phones.
So this is not life or death, but this is a pet peeve that's happened the last few times I've done this ride at Disney. The Carousel Progress, if you get bored and think you don't want to sit through the whole thing and you get up and try to go out the exit, you reset it. So everybody in there has to watch whatever that scene is all over again.
I didn't know that.
Yes, that's happened like the last three times I've done it. And we do it every time we go because my kids love that. I love it. But I mean, there's always someone who won't sit the 30 minutes in the air conditioning. Just chill, you know?
I was just looking at a text that I have people in Alaska traveling, and she was telling me about they did the wilderness tour in Denali, and she said they're really strict with littering. She said they're so strict that you're not permitted to empty a cup of ice.
Wow.
Out onto the ground. She said that takes preventing litter to a whole new level.
Wow. You know,
and there are some areas that there, my folks who went to Antarctica said you had to fill in your footprints. Mm-hmm. On the way back, like, this is serious business, you know, it's not only the man-made things, but it's our natural environment that people are, you know, people who try and take little bits of sand and that gets taken out of their suitcase. And, you know, it's like,
or plants. Don't try to bring home plants from the Caribbean.
Smuggle birds in your pants.
Well, things like that, the fruits and vegetables and, you know, farm life of any type, that's actually illegal too.
Yeah.
And so you're not, you know, you think you're getting away with something, but you're really actually endangering yourself. And I mean, that things like mad cow, that's how that stuff moves around. Somebody in Mongolia just got the bubonic plague.
Our Uber driver was from Mongolia last week.
I'm not saying the entire country of Mongolia has a bubonic plague, but they ate some animal that was carrying the plague. Yeah. You know, it's like,
they had bubonic plague in Yosemite the last time I was there.
It happened. I mean, it's still out there.
From the rats.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you have to be aware that the reason these laws exist, you know, there's reasons for it.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't bring back liquor mostly because the United States wants to be sure that you're, you know, paying taxes on it. But yeah, the things like dirt and soil and everything, that's actually for your own good. So.
Yeah, don't steal the rocks from Volcanoes National Park.
Okay. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Laura, Lindsay, George, and myself, Elizabeth, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly!